Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Hello, listeners. This is episode 73 of Art Talk. And today I have a very special guest, someone I wanted to have a conversation with for such a long time. So let me introduce you to Lea Smithen. Do I say that right? Lea or Lea?
Lea.
Lea. Lea Smithen is a Los Angeles-based artist using both traditional paint, ceramic sculptures, and new media. She makes, for instance, digital installations, virtual augmented and extended realities, and to explore the human condition using portraits that mirror an emotional state or frame of mind rather than the likeness of a person. She's been interviewed and had her work featured in a variety of print and digital magazines, including LA Times. And she's also exhibited throughout the US and abroad, including the award-winning outdoor digital art exhibition Luminex, as well as collaborated with brands like tech giants as Apple and public art installations. Welcome, Lea. I'm really happy to have you finally got you as my guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. Finally, we get to talk.
Yeah, well, since 2019, we just figured. So yeah. I followed you since then, yeah, for a long time. And I was very curious, not only to your process, but also how your exploration into the human condition and what sparked that interest in you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that I feel like as humans, we're just very complex beings. And I've always been interested in being able to portray how we feel or a state of mind. I feel like sometimes when it comes to us humans, sometimes we just tend to draw a lot of conclusions based off of appearance. Mm-hmm. And then also one thing that my family experienced too was with my father. He had a very major stroke. And with the stroke, it was on the left side of his brain. And what it did was it gave him, he ended up with a condition called aphasia. And what aphasia is, it's a condition, there's different variations from it. His was very severe, but I liken it to if I don't speak Chinese and I go to China and people are talking to me, I still have my intelligence. I just don't have the vocabulary to speak back to them. And that's what aphasia did. It just took away that language. And so, but he still had all his intelligence. So I think from there, I began really wanting to understand and explore the idea of intelligence, of human, as of our inner selves, outside of language. What does that look like? How can we make that intangible tangible?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've heard from that people see a book, but they can't express that it is a book. But they know it is a book, but they can't pair the language to it, right? That's aphasia. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That must be devastating when you can talk, but you can't talk, express it. Yeah.
Right. But you know what's really interesting about the human brain? So here in the US, insurances, all that kind of is really kind of crazy. And I'm sure it is, of course, in all over the world. But it was hard to find a speech therapist that could really grasp what was happening and the extent and have the patience to work with him. There was one woman that we finally found that was able to use music therapy. And the interesting thing about music is since the stroke happened on the left side of his brain, that's generally where are just large sets, but our creativity, our music, and that all those types of parts of us generally is on like the right side of the brain. So with music therapy, what they were able to do after he wasn't able to speak for 2 years, just 5 minutes working with this woman, she was able to start rebuilding those synapses back where he was by singing the language, they're singing in English. Yeah. It was starting to rebuild those synapses. But unfortunately, just because of different circumstances, we weren't able to continue to work with her at the time. Mm. But anyway, it just really impressed upon me how important that creative side is. Like it doesn't have, that's not where the seat of the language sits. So sometimes we just take it for granted, but it's extremely important in our development. And so just exploring those parts of our mind and how they relate to us and our inner person is really fascinating to me.
Yeah. And that shows in your art, because I've seen things that have like, okay. especially your animations are stunning, where you see these heads and they kind of merge into each other and then come out, and they have these, they have an expression and they don't have, their eyes are closed and then their eyes go open, and they, and then a third one comes in, and very, very interesting. Yeah. It is also a very philosophical approach to art, yet inclusive, because you use reality. I mean, we understand a portrait, you know, some people understand it. If you have conceptual art, you can only understand it when you read a book about it and the whole explanations they have about why they make a peanut butter floor, for instance. But still, I can imagine that people being mesmerized like I was. I sat there Saturday and I'd like, okay, look at it from this side. And how? Okay, again, what do I see? Mm-hmm. So at one hand, it's questioning, and on the other hand, it's mesmerizing. And how are the engagements you have with people when they see your work?
Yeah, it's always fun, because for me, of course, and you're an artist, so I know you know, it's like you sit with a work for a long time and it has a certain meaning for you. But then when other people see it, it may have a completely different meaning for them. Yep. Or a lot of times with that particular animation that you're talking about, I get people who are like, wow, you know, like excited. I get some people who are like, that's a little scary.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
But so, you know, it's kind of like what their personal experience is, you know, like they put their own, they're influenced by it in their own way, because they're, you know, a different person, had different experiences in life. But generally it's fun. And I love seeing people have their own meaning to it. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun.
Yeah. And since the explosion, because you go, I've seen you, and we go into that later, but there was interaction, was like live interaction. But since the explosion of new technologies, I see you run with it. And our frame of mind has definitely changed. Yeah. Everything. How do you as artists explore this experience that yourself?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I've always been interested in technology, in addition to doing painting and, you know, like sculpture, things like that. I also have a background in graphic design, so I'm used to like using the computer and things like that in the design process. And then after COVID, I was working on an art show that I was going to release, and then COVID happened. So that went away. And that's when I decided to explore, you know, really lean into the technology. I had time, we couldn't get out as much. And I took that art show that I was going to do, and I created virtual reality version of it. And since we were all cooped up at home, what I did was I was able to take the art out into parks or really weird, interesting places in California and set up the art, and using your iPad or your tablet or your smartphone on YouTube, you were able to play like feel like you were somewhere else using virtual reality. But the thing is, with that technology, I also wanted people to be able to see the pieces as if it was in their own home. So I also worked with augmented reality. So that was kind of, that was like the first movement into that. And then since there, I've just been really like exploring it more and more.
Yeah. Is that still a thing, augmented reality?
Yes, yes. In fact, last year, downtown Los Angeles, in their, I don't know if you consider it a financial district, they call it downtown center. It's where there's a Broad Museum, Mocha Museum, the Disney Concert Hall. That's a pretty famous building by Frank Gehry. It looks like somebody took sheet metal and then just like crumbled it up.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. Yeah. So over there, to get more people walking around that area, especially after the pandemic, especially after a lot of some of the rioting that happened and things like that, to kind of really encourage more playfulness in the downtown area, they had a walking tour utilizing augmented reality. Sometimes with having to do physical art, public art rather, sometimes it takes a lot of time or there's a lot of restrictions. But with augmented reality, we were able to transform that part of the city into more of a playground where they can discover and look at that architecture from a new perspective. And so that's what they did last year. And then we're also working on a project this year with that.
Just in between, I was thinking about that. You see, you know, we went from like what you see behind me, paintings, they hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. And now you see people walk in the museum like this. They have, and then you have these immerse yourself. So you can sit somewhere in a big hall and all Van Gogh is on the walls, on the floors and everything. What are your thoughts about that?
It's interesting. It's funny because even though I work with technology and augmented reality, I still really love painting. I still love the feeling of things. I also do love the fact that technology can also take it kind of, you can, I hope to create like a transcendence on top of it and an elevated appreciation for what's the physical world, not replacing the physical world. And so that's kind of what that extended reality means, is it's the blending of both our real world and our and technology, having like that little layer to give you like a heightened experience.
Yeah. Don't you think that having that heightened experience is because we live in a very hyper world? I mean, I can enjoy sitting in a museum and stare at a painting with my own eyes.
Right.
But I have the feeling that people want more and more and more because their senses are working overtime. And they are quickly bored or something, and they need more and more, and it needs to go deeper. And you think that's one of the reasons that this happens?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. It's funny, like I have my nieces and nephews, and of course they grew up with social media and all these types of things. And even they just need to, they turn off social media and they just don't touch it for a few months. And I find more and more people. So I agree with you. I do think that there's like more and more, but I do think that sometimes you do just want to sit with your own eyes in a place and just take it in. And so I see that technology, not really, I don't see it as a competing with the real world. I see it more as chocolate or vanilla or strawberry. Or sometimes you have Rocky Road and the Rocky Road is like the heightened experience, but maybe you just want vanilla today, you know, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a way you bridge the gap between the analog and the digital, right? Mm-hmm. So in what way do you, and what way do you combine them, and where in the end lies the emphasis for you personally?
So it sort of depends. It depends on the subject. It depends on the, I think it kind of depends on the subject, where the work is going to be. So it's just kind of like, the way I think of it is, if I'm going to do a painting versus a sculpture, or if I'm going, and so sometimes it may be like, I may have a painting and maybe there'll be an augmented reality overlay, you know, that connects with it, that can even further the idea. For example, when I did Luminex last year, so the theme for that particular piece, it was called WAGME, which is an acronym for We're All Gonna Make It, that's used in the Web3 community. And the idea is almost like hope. So instead of thinking of all these technologies as competing with each other, they kind of have that saying, like WAGME, like we're all going to make it. It's all going to be good, like, you know, to keep the peace and the hope. And they're hoping that technology will make life better. So that was the name of the piece. But in my work, as we are as humans, things are not always only good. You know, there's like two sides to the coin. And so with the piece, it was the digital animation, and we incorporated, I worked with Aura Now Art and Panasonic to do a projection installation on a building that had windows. And on these windows, these avatars were trying to push through the screen. So usually we look at our avatars, we control our avatars.